Our epistle for this feast of the finding of the Holy Cross is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Brethren, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery being to be equal with God, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and in habit found as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. For which cause God also has exalted him, and has given him a name, which is above all names, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is the glory of God the Father. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. At that time, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art come a teacher from God, for no man can do the signs which thou dost unless God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Amen, amen, I say to thee, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus answered, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a man be born again of water and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Wonder not that I said to thee, you must be born again. The Spirit beareth where he will, and thou hearest his voice, but thou knowest not whence he comes or whither he goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be done? Jesus answered and said to him, Art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? Amen, amen, I say to thee, that we speak of what we know, and we testify of what we've seen, and we receive not our own testimony. If I have spoken to you earthly things, and you believe not, how will you believe if I speak to you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended into heaven, but he that descendeth from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him may not perish, but may have life everlasting. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary.
So shall the Son of Man be lifted up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. First, I'd like to do a little history where it concerns this feast. It's a unique feast. Usually we celebrate feast days of saints or occasions like the circumcision or the presentation. But this is the finding of the Holy Cross, and why should that be important to us? The year was 312. Constantine was going into a battle with the Emperor of the West, Maxentius. And that night he was sitting or walking outside, and knowing that he was outnumbered and that the odds were against him for winning that battle. And I do believe that it was on account of his mother, Helena, and her prayers that he got a vision. A cross appeared in the sky, and around that cross were the words, "With this sign you shall conquer." Most definitely he was astonished. But then He believed in the vision that was given to him, and so he had all the standard bearers of his army placed a cross at the top, where the eagle used to be, or above the eagle was the cross. And on their weapons and their persons, they bore the symbol of the cross. And against great odds, they won an outstanding battle the next day. It was a battle that was very important for Christianity. As you know, Christians were being persecuted. Constantine himself wasn't a Christian at this time, but his mother had embraced Christianity. Shows you the power of a good woman. Anyways, Constantine's mother was given a dream that God had a plan for her, wanted her to go and seek the relics of Christ. So she went to Jerusalem and started her duty with the help of her son, found the place where Christ was crucified, and on top of that hill, the pagans had placed a statue of the false deity Venus. And if you just see how the devil likes to operate, he likes to do things, the antithesis of things, right? That's where our Blessed Mother became our mother, where she saw her son win for us redemption. And so they put the false deity Venus up there, and she had that marble statue overthrown. It had been there for about 180 years when Christianity was starting to grow and starting to build. She also went to Bethlehem, found the place where our Lord was born, and they had placed another statue there, the statue of Adonis, another false deity, the false god of youth and male beauty. Of course, she had the statue destroyed, cleansed the place, and upon these places she built churches and great shrines. The place where Christ had risen from the dead, the enemies of Christ had erected a shrine to Jupiter, the great and victorious god, false god. And of course, she tore that statue down and made that another shrine, which these shrines still exist today. And then she started to search for the true cross and performing excavation, digging up. She found three crosses, and she knew that one of these crosses was the one because she found the sign that Pontius Pilate had written that went over our Lord's head. Written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And if you go to Rome today, you can see that. I've seen it. Seen the actual sign that went over our Lord's head. But they still didn't know which cross was the true cross. Macarius, the bishop of Jerusalem, came up with an idea, knew of a woman with a chronic sickness. And they touched all three crosses to her. First cross did nothing, second cross did nothing, third cross. Instantaneously, she was cured. In front, a miracle that was witnessed by many people. Of course, they took the relic of the true cross and a big portion of it stayed in Jerusalem, and another went to Rome. And then from there, it has been distributed. So that this item, this object that our Lord used for our salvation could be venerated. It is a sign that we use to open dialogue with God in our prayers, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, right? It is a sign where we receive blessings from the church. Before you receive Holy Communion, that sign of the cross is made over you by our Lord Himself through the hands of the priest. You are baptized in the sign of the cross. Absolution is given to you in confession by that same sign, as well as the other sacraments, your items that you wish to be blessed and become sacramentals are blessed by the sign of the cross. And by this sign, the same sign that was given to Constantine, the same sign, we shall conquer evil. If we make use of this sign properly and reverently and with faith. When we make the sign of the cross reverently, we are professing that Christ is our Redeemer and that He died that death on the cross. Actually, one interesting point is, after the finding of the true cross, Emperor Constantine declared that from that time on, crucifixion would not be used again as a means of corporal punishment, in order so that it could get away from the disdain of criminality and punishment and could be revered as a sign of salvation and redemption. You know, we are blessed here at St. Mary's to have a piece of the true cross. Actually, it was given by the monastery that Father Michael came from. And after Mass, if you want to stay in church, we'll give you a blessing with a relic of the true cross, documented and certified. But with these things, like a relic of the true cross or any of the other relics of the saints, we make sure that we have an attitude of veneration for them, not superstition. We venerate them because these are the items that were used, or those were the saints who sacrificed their lives and are in heaven. We don't use them as a means of superstition, just like we don't use sacramentals as superstition. Well, if I wear this medal, then I'm okay. No, you have to wear it with faith. For example, the medal of St. Benedict is a medal of exorcism. But you have to wear it with faith, understanding that the holiness of St. Benedict and calling upon his protection, the devil won't have influence over you or as much influence over you. Making use of holy water, you remind that you are a child of God, and through the waters of baptism, which we spoke of in today's gospel, our Lord was talking to Nicodemus about water and the Holy Spirit, talking about baptism. We are reminded that we are children of God through the waters of baptism. And we venerate, or we hold precious, that sacramental of water and holy water. When we come into church, we don't just take it or neglect to take holy water. The holy name of Jesus, that's what we are reminded of today in the epistle, St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, that the holy name of Jesus, every knee in heaven, on earth, and under the earth should bend. And how sad it is in this day and age, the name of our Lord and the name of God is used only as abuse, misused, used as a term of surprise or anger. No. Everything that is associated with Christ is powerful and good. And when we abuse something that's good, that's blasphemy. Or it's a sin, at least. And so we should hold the name of our Lord as we hold all things that are associated with our Lord as holy, because He is holy and He is good. That's why we should, whenever we say the holy name of Jesus, we should bow our heads and keep ourselves sensitive to the fact that holy is His name. Did you know that at the name of Jesus, if you are at the moment of death and you have the name of Jesus in your mind and in your heart, you get a plenary indulgence, having received the apostolic blessing, all restitution to your sin is done away with. That's how powerful His name is. Why? Because it's the name of He who is all powerful. As you've heard me say before, we have to always make sure we count our blessings. Sometimes we make up our own little game where it concerns our faith and our religion. And that's what it is. It's a little game. It's nonsense. It's useless. Whereas we have to step back and say, no, He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. I believe what He said because He said it. Not because I get 20 people to agree with me or 50 people agree with that notion or whatever. Those are nonsense games which we see an awful lot of today. And people cheat themselves out of the connection that they can have with the good Lord and the opportunity that they can have when they make that connection. In today's gospel, our Lord is talking about baptism, being born again to Nicodemus. And at the very end, he ends up with something that's a little bit confusing unless you do a little study on it. He says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so will the Son of Man be lifted up." What's that all about? Well, if you do a little research and you go back to the event that you find in your Bible about Moses and the desert, the chosen people were rebelling again, as they had done many times and would do many more times afterwards. But they were rebelling and they were gossiping and backbiting and talking against Moses. And the Lord sent vipers to punish them that would cause extreme pain and often death. And they knew it was a punishment, so they went back to Moses and said, "We're sorry. Go tell God that we're sorry and to free us from this punishment." And so Moses went again to God. And God told Moses, "All right, this is what you will do. You'll make a brass serpent and you'll place it in a tree. And anyone that looks upon that brass serpent, even though they be bitten, they will not die. They'll be cured." And it was done. And they kept the brass serpent all the way until they got into Jerusalem. They only destroyed it after a while because the chosen people were tempted very easily into idolatry. But why did our Lord make reference to this? You see, the brass serpent looked like a serpent, but in it was empty of any type of venom or poison. So Christ, He looks like a criminal. He took upon Himself the weight of all of our sins and died a criminal's death, but within Him there was no sin. And He's pointing the Son of Man being lifted up on the cross, the feast of the finding we celebrate today. And so we look and we understand and we remember and we recall the price that was paid for our salvation, and we are grateful to God. We are grateful to our Lord Jesus and thank Him today for not dying just once on a hill called Calvary so many centuries ago, but representing Himself and that sacrifice at Holy Mass, which we are blessed to assist at today. And we reiterate our faith in Him, knowing that by His sign of the cross, we shall conquer and we shall have salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.